You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. So is the loyalty that OBM provides to its customers with OBM's exclusive no-risk guarantee and 7-year security blanket. Teamed with OBM's designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town. So OBM can tackle any of your copier problems, and you'll never scramble to keep your office running. Now the preferred document services provider of the Browns. Visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today or call 216-485-2000. Zagura, Wilhelm, Keon here in the Dog Bowl in Berea, and it's time for we're going to bring all of our little fun games together. So let's bring in our producer, Dino. What's up, Dino?
Happy New Year, gentlemen.
Happy New Year, bro.
Same. Same. All right, guys. Let's start first with After further review. All right. After further review, Mike Pettin should have given Brian Hoyer a stronger vote of confidence after he had the bad game in Atlanta and just basically said, okay, you know, I know he had a bad game, but he's our guy. Don't even ask me about Manziel.
No, absolutely not. Even though the Johnny Manziel experiment blew up in his face, Brian Hoyer showed he's not going to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback, and our goal in this building is to win a Super Bowl. And, you know, if
that's
he's
right,
not going to be
thank
the guy,
you very much.
Next up.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that he should have given him the vote of confidence because, especially with Mike Pettin's mentality, is it's a pass-fail. And it was fail after fail after fail for Brian Hoyer, so there was no need for confidence. He's got to grow up and be a man and play better football.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think that he should have been given a stronger vote of confidence. I think in this league, you earn what your performance dictates. And I think that he played himself out of a job. Unfortunately, the people behind him didn't do any better, but he did play himself out of the job. And I think that you have a situation where the Browns now head into this offseason again with a very muddy quarterback position.
After further review.
You guys kind of touched on it, but just to make it clear. Looking, you know, this goes right back to what Ray Farmer said yesterday. For the three of you, looking back, the Browns made a mistake not drafting a wide receiver this past year in the draft in what's considered one of the finest wide receiver classes in recent history in the first two rounds.
Well, I would have liked to seen Odell Beckham stay at number 9, get Odell Beckham, but I do believe in Ray Farmer's philosophy, and I trust in Ray Farmer. And I think 5 years from now, everybody else will also. So I'm not going to second guess Ray.
I do, in fact, still trust Ray Farmer, but I will second guess Ray Farmer. And I just believe that what would one more weapon have done for Brian Hoyer? As we saw, Miles Austin filled a great role for us. We relied on Andrew Hawkins.
Cash money Miles.
Absolutely, converting those first downs. But, you know, Andrew Hawkins played out of position most of the football season. The question mark of Josh Gordon was still looming large. So I would have loved to see a playmaker even prior to knowing that this was such a draft, heavy wide receiver draft.
I think if you're going back and you wanted to redo it all, you'd make the trade with Buffalo. At number 9, you could take Zach Martin, who went to the Pro Bowl for the Dallas Cowboys, at guard, if you wanted to get that guard. Then at 26, you could have stayed there. You could have taken Theodore Bridgewater. You'd have your franchise quarterback. Your line would be in
Theodore.
Just as good a shape as Theodore. And then at 35, had you so wanted, you could have then taken an Allen Robinson or a Marquise Lee. Or you could have done it the other way, taking an Odell Beckham. Taking Teddy and then taking Betonio. I think you ignored the corner there early and you got Pierre Desir. You've got Buster Skrin. You ended up doing a great job getting Kaywan. So that's, you know, knowing how things turned out. But basically, you got nothing out of Gilbert. So that pick, it didn't matter. Now, you could get something out of him. But I think looking back on it, I think I would have liked to have gotten one receiver in here because I still do believe it matters. And I know that Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the league, but I think it's helped Aaron Rodgers in that Packers offense that he's had, you know, Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, before that Greg Jennings when he was still in his prime. You played
Donald
on
Driver.
Teams. Donald Driver. Those receivers help. When you have professional wide receivers out there at week in, week
James
out with
Jones.
Some size, James Jones, it helps a quarterback. I don't think it's any surprise that,
Your name's Tommy Terrific.
Unless your name's Tom Terrific, but what they did was create mismatches with tight ends in the middle of the field. You need to have those the primary pass catchers who are matchup nightmares, and you're supposed to have that with Josh Gordon, and you're supposed to have that a little bit with Jordan Cameron to an extent, but I think getting some new blood in there, I think they did show the offense functioned at a high level without Josh Gordon, so you didn't need that receiver, but you know, how long can you count on Miles Austin? And I think it was apparent that that was a big loss for this team, and the answer is you can't count on him long, so it was a great receiver draft. I wouldn't have minded seeing somebody come in.
All right, from After Further Review, we go to
Fact or fiction?
All right, let's talk quarterbacks, gentlemen. Kirk Cousins, Johnny Manziel, and a rookie from the draft class of 2015 will be the ones vying for the Browns' starting job next summer.
Boy, I hope not. I'm going to say that's fiction. They got to come in with a better veteran option than Kirk Cousins. I mean, Kirk Cousins was probably the worst quarterback in the league this year.
1-8 as a starter all time.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's fiction.
I'm going to go fiction as well. I don't believe it's Johnny Manziel. I don't believe that that we're going to make any decisive move to go out and get that franchise guy in this year's draft. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The guys that I'm looking to from a veteran standpoint that could come in here and potentially be a part of the Cleveland Browns franchise and be that guy, Ryan Mallett, Jake Locker, Mark Sanchez, and even possibly Jimmy Clausen. Guys with starting experience that are young enough to get it right here in Cleveland and play here for five or more years.
But you see why people are connecting the dots to Cousins because of his past relationship with Kyle Shanahan.
And his
right?
dinner in Tremont.
And
correct?
His dinner in Tremont, yes.
Yeah.
You know, I thought when you look at Ryan Mallett played only one game healthy as a quarterback, and it was against us. 20 of 30, 211 yards, two touchdowns, averaged over 7 yards per attempt against what had been a very good pass defense this season. He played that game against Cincinnati with a torn pec and was dreadful, but he was injured. I want Ryan Mallett's the guy that I would like to see get the shot. You know, Mark Sanchez I think you could live with, but that's not something that I'm super excited about. You know, maybe you try to trade for Nick Foles. I wouldn't mind, you know, seeing what you could do with New England. Maybe there's a package to New England, a team that could feel like they could perhaps rehabilitate a Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon and some type of a late pick for Jimmy Garoppolo and bring in another young quarterback to compete and say, listen, between the two of these guys, hopefully one turns into our franchise quarterback, or even maybe seeing how Aaron Murray's recovering in Kansas City. He was a guy that I loved
coming out of Georgia,
coming into the draft. So there aren't any great options. I think that's the scariest part about it. I don't think there are any great options that are out there. Mallett is still very much an unknown. And if New England liked Mallett so much, they had their guy to succeed Tom Brady right there, and they basically were going to cut him and just let him go.
What about Hundley at 12 or 19 in next year's draft?
I think he's going in the third round, they're saying.
I see Hundley, and I see him holding the ball.
He regressed this year, I felt.
I'm not high on him at all. No. Not that I'm some sort of scout or anything.
Good a key in.
All right, guys, from Fact or Fiction, let's go to the forecast. Friday forecast here on a Wednesday.
Number one.
College football playoffs, gentlemen, are tomorrow. In the Rose Bowl, it's Oregon and Florida State. And then, of course, the Buckeyes. Ohio State will take on Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. Give me your prediction for tomorrow's college football playoffs.
You mean I can't pick Harbaugh?
No, you can't. Kid, you cannot pick Harbaugh. Not yet.
I'm going to go with, in a squeaker, I'm going to go with Florida State over Oregon. And I hate to disappoint the Buckeye minions out there, but I'm going to have to say I think Alabama's going to take down the Buckeyes.
So Alabama, Florida State in the finals for you.
Yes.
I'm going to go with the complete opposite. And
That's a shocker, Wilhelm.
I'm going to go with the Oregon Ducks are going to fly high, and I don't think that Jameis Winston and the Florida State Seminoles are going to be able to come from behind and produce enough points to beat a Heisman winning quarterback Marcus Mariota and the Oregon Ducks. And then, of course, there is absolutely no way in the world I would bet against my Ohio State Buckeyes, especially after what they were able to do and how prepared they were in the Big Ten Championship game.
I'm going to go with the Oregon Ducks over famous Jameis in a close one, and then I'm going to go with the Buckeyes. Why not? Just for fun.
Oh, what a
Why
homer.
Not? Yes.
You know,
nice.
Folks,
yes.
He's
nice.
Not from Ohio. He has no connection to the Ohio State University. Don't believe
the
hype.
Other than Amari Cooper, I don't care about or like anybody on Alabama or their
program.
I think
Blake Sims is very ordinary.
You might be rooting for Ohio State, but, I mean, that's just playing to the masses right there.
Why do you think that Alabama's so good?
Pump it up, Dino!
Why do I think Alabama's so good? I think that their skill position players are not just their running backs are very good running backs as well.
You know what? What you're overlooking is their most dominant trait is their offensive defensive line. They are bigger, stronger, and more athletic. Because I think that Ohio State can match them skill to skill.
I agree with that.
You know, but they're going to be dominant, and it's that. And the one thing that scares me about them is the fact that we'll hang, and then. Very similar to the way the Browns defense kind of weathered the storm for a long time and hit their stride. It just became too much to carry that football team that the big uglies, both offensively and defensively for Alabama, will wear down Ohio State.
And I mean, a third-string quarterback, as good as he played, it's a third-string quarterback playing against Nick Saban.
You got to figure he's good for one or two mistakes. I mean, he's
the biggest game of his life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Blake Sims, too, though. Biggest game of his life.
It is the biggest game of Blake Sims' life, but he's played
sure.
12 so far.
Yes,
Cardale has played one.
Sure.
And finally, guys, on the forecast. Let's see here. Let's get the hotkeys up.
Number two.
Wild card weekend is this weekend. You've got Arizona against Carolina, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati versus Indianapolis, and Detroit and Dallas. Give me your winners.
I'm gonna go with Carolina. I think their defense is playing really well. I expected Atlanta to beat them, and I was dead wrong there. So I'll take my medicine and say that I'm going to go with Carolina now. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. I think that their offense is becoming an unstoppable show right now.
That was your TA lock of the week last week, if I'm not mistaken.
Hey, let's not talk about that. This is this week. I also like Cincinnati, and I'm going to go with Dallas over Detroit.
All right, I'm going to go Carolina-Pittsburgh as well, and I differ on Indy and Detroit. I think that the Dallas Cowboys do not play all that well at home, and I think that Detroit plays great defense, will be able to limit Dez Bryant, and a kind of a banged-up, bruised-up DeMarco Murray after all that pounding he received, that, you know, without a week off, they're not going to be at their best, and I think that Detroit will do enough defensively to affect the Cowboys and slow them down and Matthew Stafford, and that offense will do enough to score in Dallas.
I'm going with Carolina at home and not close. Lindley just not going to get it done as a playoff quarterback. I think the Steelers are the team to watch. If there's anybody that can make a run that isn't New England or Denver out of the AFC, I think it's definitely the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they handle the Baltimore Ravens. I think that Cincy goes on the road and beats Indy. I think Indy is the most fraudulent AFC playoff team this year. And I think the Dallas Cowboys have it figured out. They are going to defeat the Detroit Lions, but it is going to be closer. I'm surprised that that's the biggest spread of the week.
All right,
not
guys,
that we endorse gambling.
No, of course not. That's the poo-poo platter, as Wilhelm – was it Wilhelm called it that or Nathan?
Nathan started it, and I concurred that a poo-poo platter is absolutely amazing.
I did start it.
But it was the poo-poo platter on this final day of the 2014.
Board.
Yes.
Yes. All right, so I got one for you here before we take a break. In New York, their GM says that he was more excited about Odell Beckham than any guy on his team since Lawrence Taylor.
Wow. I mean, I've been a Beckham fan all season and back in his days when he was playing for my man Les Miles, but that's some heady, heady talk. I might need some of what he's tasting when he's making those statements.
I've got another one for you guys, and it's more so it's along those betting lines, but it's over under $15 million, the amount of money that Jordan Cameron's lackluster performance this year cost him as well as Josh Gordon.
Money.
Future contract.
Yeah, I would say I'm not sure it's $15 million, but Jordan Cameron went from being a multiple million-dollar guy to, in my opinion, if he gets $2-3 million, he's going to be lucky.
I think the market for tight ends was around like $7-8 a year. So yes, maybe he lost some money there. I think Josh Gordon probably cost himself $50 million, and I think you also saw.
Over.
I think Jabal Sheard probably cost himself a decent amount of money this year also, because I know that he had the brand. I know that they had been in talks and that stalled, and now he bet on himself. And I think it was interesting. You know, the one guy who I think made himself the most money this season from the Browns and the free agent standpoint, obviously Tashaun Gibson made himself some money, but I think Buster Skrine made himself quite a bit of money. And I think when you really look at this from an organizational standpoint, the failure of Justin Gilbert puts them in a little bit of an interesting situation, right? Because you're going to want to keep Buster Skrine. So you're going to end up, I think, paying Buster Skrine pretty handsomely. So you're going to have a lot of money in Hayden, a lot of money in Skrine. You've got Dazeer, who looks like he could be a starter. You know, you've got Kaywan, who's your starting slot right now. But if so, ultimately, you know, where does Gilbert fit in? If Gilbert were good, you have a lot more flexibility with that money and how you want to allocate it across your secondary.
I think you got to give Buster big money up front, but maybe make it salary cap friendly. We have a lot of room this year. Maybe you make it salary cap heavy this year in hopes that Justin Gilbert comes around and that you might be able to cut ties with Buster 2-3 years into the contract.
I don't know that he's going to want that, though. I think he's going to be a hot commodity out there. I think that'll be very interesting to see.
Well, if you give him you give him the money, instead of giving it to him in a bonus, you give him a big salary for this year. In other words, if he was going to get a $30 million package somewhere, maybe you give him 12 to 15 in year one and then scale it down so it's a little bit more amenable to getting rid of him down the road.
General manager to Kied. Structuring contracts, you'll talk to your man, Sasha Brown. All right, when we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, we'll wrap this thing up for 2014. can call us 216-578-0850. We also will go ahead and we will get our final thoughts on our favorite play of the season, our favorite moment of the season, and much, much more here on CBD.